Hello everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Hey, look what I got over here. A gift from Komal Tyre, so she knows my buttons. And this also reminds me, by the way, the second one is also from Komal. So this reminds me that more things needs to be discussed when it comes to space domain. The only problem with this astronaut is that this one cannot stand. But it's fine, because the second one is going to have it, like a reverse kangaroo or something. Okay, just you need to be creative, right? Every problem has a solution. And that's what we talk about a lot of times in this podcast. We talk about the mindset and the mentality you need. Don't really know exactly what we are going to be discussing today. That was a lie, because I have a list of topics that I can discuss. But I do not know exactly which one I'm going to discuss, which can be solved easily by just going through the first one, which is in the list. And that is the cycle of jobs. And before we begin, to those who are kind of new, the older ones and the regular ones know it already, your topics and suggestions are most welcome. If you're on YouTube, you can put it down in the comment section. If you are on Anchor, you can throw me a voicemail or something. If you are not in any of those, then you can send me a mail through your speed post. Okay, now getting to the point, cycle of job. A lot of people vilify jobs way too much, to the point that they also start saying that you should not even go to college. Now, you should not, if everything has a condition, right? Definitely don't take motivations or guidance from those 1 minute shorts or reels that you've been watching. So what we are going to do is break down jobs of what they are good at and when to quit, what should be the trajectory, what should be the direction. Because what I did is have job for exactly 2.5 years and then bounce, create something on my own, and then have a self-employment, a business, and matter of fact, have employees in the future to manage everything on my own and then lead my own career in that fashion that I have always dreamed to pursue, in which I am able to pursue my scientific and engineering goals and also my artistic goals. And I'm not sucked in into the whole shit cycle of jobs where you're not going to have a life for yourself and you're kind of living paycheck to paycheck and you feel like you're kind of losing life. See, I've been there. It's not like I had this master plan and I executed it step by step. If I executed everything step by step, I probably would be having a career in job, like having a boss for less than 1 year. But I think 2.5 years of getting out of a job scenario is also good. It's pretty short. But there are some benefits of jobs as well. And I need kids to understand what are these before you make those decisions of going entrepreneurial in your college or maybe not even getting into a college. There are some benefits of getting into college, there are benefits of not getting into college, there are benefits of dropping out. All of them are there, but which one fits for you? That's the question people don't ask. They are, oh, who is more successful? What did he or she do? I'm just going to copy and paste it and then go head first. So there's a whole strategy to it, which I would like to discuss. Now, it all starts with your father not being a billionaire. It all starts with you not, excuse you, ma'am, it's not a problem. We are having a chill mood over here, so don't you worry. Okay, sorry about that. So coming back to the point, it all starts with your father not being a billionaire. It all starts with your granddad not giving you some property or you having an accumulation of wealth. And also, it all starts with you not being able to relate to student of the year. What was that? The most recent one, another garbage thrown on let's just dump crores of rupees into a shit show. What was that? It came out on Netflix. God damn, it was so stupid. So, three kids just got a new school, which is like a high-end school. Oh, it was so stupid. I think that if you have watched it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's again Student of the Year, but now it is a TV series or some shit. But coming back to where we started, by the way, this happens a lot of times in our podcast. We go out of control, but also we come back to the control when need be. So it all starts with you do not have enough money right now to start your own business, which is a good thing, which you're going to find out pretty soon. And you need to first of all sustain yourself, generally at least at the age of 22. That's another thing about Indian culture, which is kind of now changing and I'm very happy about. But the problem was that the parents support their kids for way too long, like 23, 24, 25, you're still dependent on your parents. What the hell is going on? You're preparing for competitive examination, graduated 2 years ago, and you do not have an income right now. You're not even working towards that. Well, some thoughts have to be made over there. Some decisions have to be made. But that's a responsibility that you should be taking at least at the age of 22, that I'm going to at least support myself. If you do not do that, please do not complain later that my parents and my family is controlling the direction of my career. They will, obviously. Nothing is for free. So that should be the mindset. And how are you going to do that if you do not have that welfare program or you do not have ancestral wealth? What are you going to do? You're going to get a job. And so job is important. Job gives you the freedom to lead your own career. You do not have to answer anyone other than your boss. Once you have a job and you salute your job and you do your good work over there, job is going to stay. You're going to get the monthly income. And that's powerful. The biggest mistake that people make over here is start thinking that I'm going to spend 100% of my monthly salary. And I've been a culprit and victim of that as well. But it's something that I want to pass down because I have experienced that. And if you think about it properly, the only reason you're spending out 100% of your salary is because you know that there are people around you who's going to help you just in case you get a car accident, right? Or you get some disease. That people like your parents, that your family members, you are not still taking charge in your own hand. Oh, it's just another pocket money. I'm going to spend 100% of it. And maybe last 3 months, 3 days of the month, I'm just going to pass by, wait for the salary to come again. So if you spend 100% of your salary, then job is not doing anything for you. And then you complain that I'm bored of my life and I do not know what to do. I want to prepare for competitive examination. I want to start photography. I do not get time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to quit my job. And I'm going to start thinking about now, after I quitted my job, of how I'm going to develop a career in, let's say, photography. That's the stupidest thing that I've heard. You have to use the after hours, you have to use the weekends, and you have to save money. Simple as that. That is why job is important. And people who do not understand this, job is a waste of time for them. Oh, when will I live a life like a king where I do not have to answer anyone? And also, meanwhile, I do not have to work. Tell me a way of passive income so that it gets into my bank account transferred every month. By the way, why every month? Let us say every day, every next day you send me some money. I do not want to do anything. That mentality is not going to get you anything. The whole thing is that the thing about time is that it is as good as the way that you utilize it. So you have to use time in a way that you are having some remainder time at the end of the day, which all of us have. Nobody has a 16-hour job. Nobody does. If you have it, then you can quit. But everyone is having at least 4 to 5 hours apart from their sleep time, eat time, and job time, and traveling time. Everybody does. That time goes into entertainment. That time goes into relaxation. That time goes into patting yourself on the back. Oh, I've done enough. I've done enough. No, you have not. You are going to be done with it once you start utilizing the 4 hours. And that's all it takes. That's the philosophy that I have talked about a long time ago. So I'm going to recall your memory a little bit, refresh it. This is about 1/3 of your life. 1/3 of your life decides your future. 1/3 of your life decides where you're going to go. 1/3 of your life goes into sleep. 1/3 of your life goes into your job. It goes into your college. It goes into your school. It goes into whatever. Having an engagement is important in life. Sustaining life is important. Having an income is important. That's where your second 1/3 goes. But that last 1/3 goes nowhere. That last 1/3 is completely up to you of how you utilize it. And those people who do not utilize that is trapped in a cycle, and for some reason continue on complaining of why their life is not changing. You are the reason. You are not changing what you're doing with that last 1/3. That is the reason your life is not changing. And if you look at it properly, you actually have much more than 1/3. Did you consider government holidays? Did you consider festival holidays? Did you consider the Sundays? Even if you're having work on Saturdays, you have the Sundays. You don't utilize it. You wake up at 11 o'clock on Sunday as if you have made it. As if life is under control. As if you are living in the house that you want to live. As if you are exactly where you want to be. As if you have the career that you want to have. You have solid passive incomes. You have savings. You have the life that you want. No, you don't. So wake up. People do not understand that there are no Sundays, there are no holidays for those people who are struggling. Like, that's another thing with Sunday, all right? So one day, on a Sunday, I woke up at 5:30 in the morning and I went to gym. Started to walk towards gym. And what I saw was that it's raining. And I thought that, man, even the sun does not care that it is Sunday. These are all human-made. Oh, I'm going to wake up at 11 o'clock on a Sunday. I'm going to relax and enjoy on a Friday evening. I'm going to celebrate Christmas. These are all man-made. And also, everybody else is doing that. Everybody else is enjoying on weekends. Everybody else is celebrating on festivals. So what are you going to do different to get a different result? What are you going to do to separate yourself from everyone else? How are you going to be better than others? There's no problem and there's no shame in competition. There's no shame in doing extra. What are you going to do there? That's why people are trapped in job, and for them, job is horrible. But also, if they quit their job, I don't think they can do much. I don't think even if you quit job with that mindset where you were wasting time on weekends and festivals, I don't think even if you quit your job, you're going to do lot better. Matter of fact, you're going to get straight back into job, because that is the lowest level. You need some income to sustain yourself or your family. And I've seen that a lot of time as well, that people quit their job and then 2 months in, it did not work. First of all, they quit their job thinking, oh, I'm going to start working on my online course from now on. That guy I know who knows a guy who has created so much money, earns like 10 lakh rupees every month just from online courses. Over here, I'm earning like 50,000 rupees every month. Why can't I do that? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to use like my 2 lakhs of saving, quit my job, and then earn 10 lakh every month. And then what happens? You invested 50,000 into that creating course and creating platform, and then you got zero money out of it. You tested it on yourself using your money, listening to some vague advice. Obviously, that happened. And that's another thing about business, is that you're not going to find a lot of successful 22-year-old businessmen or entrepreneurs, as they call it now. Why is that? Why are all the successful businessmen and entrepreneurs are generally in that late 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s? Why is that? Because they have worked in organizations, they know how it works from the inside, then they try again and again, and then they fail again and again, and they finally find a solution or finally found something that worked. That's what people do not understand. It's not like when you quit your job and start your dream project, you are going to work any lesser. Most likely, you are going to work more for a lot less money. But over time, it is going to build. If you keep on having the job, it's going nowhere. You're going to get a slight increment every year, and that's pretty much about it. A promotion after a year, and that's pretty much about it. But if you want that explosive growth, you'll have to take two steps back to take a big leap. That's all well and good. But there's an importance with job as well. And that's, I'm going to get a little bit back into it. Why job is important. See, I understand now how aerospace engineering or aerospace industry works and how industries in general work because I have spent time doing internships in Tata Motors, Tata Cummins, Steel Authority of India, Heavy Engineering Corporation. Then I spent time working in Department of Atomic Energy. Then I spent over a year working in Department of Space in Indian Space Research Organization. So I understand how engineering is used in real life. So I got a skill and also know how it can be applied in an industry or in the real world so that you can get something back from it. If you go to college and decide that without having any work experience, I'm going to start building something on my own. How is that going to work? Because you, first of all, do not learn from others. And then also, you're going to fall and fail head first. That is actually the first step of starting anything innovative. Failing. And how are you going to fail? With whose money are you going to fail? Because you never had a job, so you never had a saving. So what, are you going to fail on your parents' money or your friends' money? You're going to keep on borrowing it from someone else? Or are you going to take a loan and do the stupidest thing ever, that getting into a loan in your early 20s when you have not even started your career? So you have to think about all of this in a proper manner. Don't just glorify entrepreneurship. Don't just glorify YouTubers. Don't just glorify those people who are making online courses. Think about what you need to do in a practical manner and then do non-pragmatic stuff like taking risks in your life. Take calculated risks. Before I left ISRO, I had 2 lakh rupees in my savings and it kind of almost met it. If I was like off by 40, 50,000, I would be done. But kind of I made it. But that was also a good amount saying that I already have a source of income. I already was creating revenue on a monthly basis from my YouTube channel. I already had opportunities and options and contracts that were being offered to me. Sponsors were already approaching me. That's when I decided to quit my job. So jobs are extremely important. What you need to understand, what are jobs? All the jobs are in the field of traditional careers. Most of them are directly traditional, which has been over there for hundreds and hundreds of years, or a subsidiary to a traditional career, or dependent on that. For example, marketing is going to be important for any industry. Now marketing has a subcategory of online marketing, and so you need expertise in social media and stuff, and advertisement on these platforms as well. So if you think that, okay, advertisement online on social media, that's a career. Well, that's a part of a bigger career that has been over there for hundreds and hundreds of years. So how are you going to understand these careers and do anything which is profitable in real life if you have not experienced it? Now, if you do not want to have a job, I'm not saying that everybody should now start going doing engineering and going through traditional career. You can do anything. Kids these days are starting to get into Bollywood as a photographer, a videographer, or a makeup artist as early as 17 or 18 years of age. Stylists, these people do that at early age. But the only way to do any of this is by having practical experience. So they are going to go on the sets, they are going to find connections, they are going to follow people, they are going to learn and understand without any pay. Same thing. I'm going to work harder without as much as money. So no matter what you do, you will have to work. It's just that if you're working in a domain that you're happy about or you enjoy, the work is going to be slightly more fun and easier most of the time. Even the thing that you're most passionate about, you're going to hate it at some point or the other, but you'll have to push through it. There's nothing in this world that la 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 la, and every time it is fun for you. So that's all about, like, you have to understand the dynamics of job. And I'm able to say these things because I've experienced all of this, and also I've talked to people who have done multiple of these that I'm discussing over here. And it is important because people do not tell you about these things. It is not glorified as much. So have a risk-taking ability, think out of the box, but also thinking out of the box does not mean you'll stop thinking inside the box. I'm never going to listen to anyone who is thinking pragmatic from now on, right? Okay, now second, I want to get into the education part as well. See, if you are going to do anything in the field of engineering, or to a huge extent management, or in the field of like scientific, like physics, chemistry, biology, you are going to need a traditional education. That's no brainer. These careers have been over there for hundreds and hundreds of years. So you're going to need a traditional education. Anything else, it depends completely on that particular industry. If you want to become a fashion designer, there has been education over there as well, and it is still going on. That will definitely give you a structure. One thing that people do not understand, why should I go to college? Those professors are not well accomplished. Or Andrew Tate is going to say, oh, those professors don't drive the cars that you want to drive. Okay, not going to get into that whole domain. We do not go to college to get professors who we are going to love the way they teach and understand things practically the way that we are going to apply in classes. That's not the point of it. The main point of college is to get a goddamn degree. When you're going to understand this, no matter what you do, be the rebel that you want, go on stage and shout about it, companies are going to ask for your degrees. Now, I know that there was time when even top companies like IT companies were asking for degrees. Like, you cannot do that. That is something that we discussed with Aditya. Yeah, he went to US to get a degree in something related to cybersecurity just because companies, big giant companies, were not giving him job, even though he was already working as a professional hacker for a long time. But now things are changing. Now a lot of companies will give you a job based on just your qualification. And there are so many online courses. I get the point. But you will have to consider what college gives you. It gives you an environment and it gives you a degree. And if you do not need any of those in your career, for example, if you want to become, a writer, right? If you want to become a writer, any kind of writing, you want to write fiction, you want to write novels, you want to write scripts for movies, you don't need a degree, right? You do not need to be an English major for that. So you need to start writing. Start making vlogs. Not blogs with a V. Start making blogs with a B. And start reaching out people. Study how writers write their scripts and books. You'll have to invest time in that. But meanwhile, what are you going to do? Because I've been writing a book and it has been 4 years. And it is still in like 7 drafts, and I need one or two more drafts. What are you going to do in the meanwhile? You do not write a book in 6 months. So you need some employment. So that's the need for which you are going to get a job. And for that, you are going to need to get into some traditional career so that you sustain yourself until unless you have like a adopted wealth. Even if you have adopted wealth, that wealth is going to go away. That is how money works. Money does not work in a way that if you have a lot of money, you're going to be happy and you're going to be able to do anything. Money works in a way that it is going to be with you only if you know how to use it. So that is why I can have just 1,000 rupees and I can use it better than you. Even if you have 10,000 rupees, you're going to go broke in just 1 month or so because you do not know how to use it. So it only ultimately comes down to how you develop your career and how you become the master of the skill in which you are trying to grow. And for that, You might need college, you might not. You might need a job, you might not. But do not just listen to people randomly, okay, that XYZ dropped out, so that is how it is going to work out for me. If you go to college, you're not going to learn anything. That's what we accept. All the mechanical engineering that I learned, I did not learn anything in the college classrooms. No, sir. I read books for hours and hours in the library. I watched NPTEL lectures. I discussed it with friends. I did everything else that can teach me mechanical engineering. But the only thing that did not teach me that were the classrooms. And in the same manner, you can go for the job. The only reason, just like the only reason we join college is a degree, the only reason we join a job is the month and salary. It's as simple as that. If you are too lucky, like I was when I got into Indian Space Research Organization, I'm growing in that career, I'm loving what I'm doing, and I'm getting the experience that very few people in this world get. And those are the jobs that are worth pursuing. But ultimately, most of the job, 90% of the job, are only there for the paycheck. So what are you going to do now? You're going to do two things. Save money, save time. Simple as that. You save money, you accumulate that, or you invest that, and you save time and you invest that time. You cannot accumulate time, unfortunately, but you're going to invest that time into whatever you're going to do after you quit your job or while you're having that job. What are you going to do with that time to create an income source or connections which are going to help you to have better career after you quit your job? That's the whole mindset that you need to get into. Understand why we are with this. Do not go to get college. We do not go to college to get knowledge. We do not go to job to like love what we do. We go for a degree. We go for money. And then we invest our time into where we want to go. It's a very independent journey. And you're not supposed to sit in a class with 50 students, do what everyone else is doing, and expect your life to be amazing once you graduate. So those are the things that I wanted to discuss. I did not know why I got so angry. I'm not. It's just that sometimes I become very passionate. Is there something that I missed? Hold on. I need to just verify, because I do have some points that I wanted to discuss. Now, just in flow, I keep on discussing almost everything that I need to discuss, and it's all done. Okay. Now, there are two things that I can do. I want to break down the way of speaking of Shashi Tharoor. I've done this before in Art of Speaking, and I believe firmly that Shashi Tharoor is one of the best speakers on this planet. No doubt about that. But after that, maybe if we get time, because Shashi Tharoor is difficult to break and might take some time, I want to discuss the review of this book by David Goggins, that is Never Finished. And this is the second book written by David Goggins, and I listen to it 100%. I do not read books, and I do not know if you can say this, but I feel that Never Finished is kind of like a self-help book. But also, I cannot say this because I think there's one page in the beginning which specially addresses the fact that it is not a self-help book. Now, I do not know if that is fact, but that's what it said, so I'm going to believe that. But whatever it is a good book without a doubt. And there are some things that I would like to note down over here, but that is something that I'm going to be discussing after I have discussed Dr. Shashi Tharoor's way of speaking. So let me just pull out any video. That's what we do. We pull out any video and go to any part of any video of that man, and we are sure that we can learn something out of his way of speaking or her way of speaking. So this one is pretty popular.
Violence and racism were the reality.
Okay, the first thing that I want to say is that a lot of people over here will be thinking or saying that his accent is fake, all right? Now, that is something that a lot of us on social media platform has to hear this. First of all, you need to understand that accents are vastly different. Right now, I'm in America, and what I'm seeing is that people from southern India have a little bit different accent compared to people from the part where I'm from, let us say North India, eastern part, Jharkhand, Bihar. People from Punjab, Haryana has a little bit different accent when they speak English, and especially when you talk about like people from Northeast, their accent is completely different. So just because a person does not sound like what you are acquainted to hear does not mean that person has a fake accent. Second of all, Shashi Tharoor's accent is different because he pronounces every word the way that it is supposed to be pronounced. Just because you are hearing a particular pronunciation again and again in your schools and colleges does not mean that that is the correct pronunciation. Matter of fact, your pronunciation is vastly wrong the way that you pronounce most of the time the words, because the way we pronounce is the way we read. That's how we Indians learned the language of English, reading mostly. And then we talk in that particular pronunciation and we just assume that that is correct. But if you type any word on Google and play the pronunciation of that, the pronunciation that is given is the correct pronunciation. That is the pronunciation made by the people who made that language. That is how it is supposed to be said. Now, Australian people are going to have different accent. The Canadian people are going to have different accent. Irish people are going to have different accent. English people are going to have different accent. But there is one particular single pronunciation of a particular word, and that is the way that it's supposed to be. And the reason why you feel Shashi Tharoor's accent is a little bit different is because he is actually pronunciating the words correctly, and there's nothing wrong in that, absolutely nothing. You have to be more open-minded about that. So let's get into more of this. All right, first of all, you need to understand what kind of speech this is. This is not an unscripted speech. This is not a political speech either. But this is a scripted speech. Now, he does not have a full-on script in front of him. In the worst case scenario, you will even see like a dais and there's a script and the person is just straight up reading. He does not have a script that he's reading out of, but he does have a microscript with the points written which he wants to cover, which is fine. He's not reading at any point. He's kind of just reminding. There is a bypass of that as well, the technique of memory palace. I've discussed this a long time ago, but use it till this day. I did use it in my TEDx talk as well. Can give you a perfect structure and a sequence in which you do not need a piece of paper to memorize what you're going to say next. It's going to be all in your head. It's like cheating, but nobody can prove it. That video is still available. I'll link it down in the description box as well. You can check it out. But that requires some time and effort. And he just went out with a piece of paper, which is fine as well if everyone else is doing that. But you need to understand this one thing about scripted speeches is that this is not the first time he's saying that. Matter of fact, I've gone through multiple speeches of Shashi Tharoor. He has said the exact same line in a lot of speeches. So it is a thing that he does, or a line that he says. And also, I would imagine that he has rehearsed a bunch of time before he spoke over here. To those people who have never done public speaking might not know this, but we rehearse multiple times. For my TEDx speech, I think at least 40 to 50 times I've rehearsed it from 0 to 100. Now, I cannot be 100% sure because I know Shashi Tharoor is a fantastic speaker. But if I had to guess, I would say that he has rehearsed it. Keeping that in mind, it is still difficult to portray a thought in front of an audience which is so educated. Where is this talk? It is somewhere in Britain, I guess. Where is this exact place? Some university. Yeah, Oxford. It's in Oxford University. So a very well-literate crowd who knows what he's talking about. He cannot just blab anything out there, and he shows the confidence that will make you believe he knows what he's saying. So this is an example of a speech, a scripted speech. So what we are going to focus a lot on is the eye contact over here, and there's a lot that you can learn from. So let's get into it.
The first speaker, Mr. allegedly suggested these things couldn't be quantified.
See, there's another thing that you can observe over here is the hand gesture. He's showing it over here. We discussed in the Andrew Tate one. But more importantly, what you can see over here, observe over here, is the eye contact. Now, there are two kinds of eye contact that we cover in the course of auto speaking. Number one, the lighthouse effect. And number two, the spotlight effect. Lighthouse effect is when you sweep through your crowd, making sure that every end, every corner understands your presence, not only your presence, but also your attention towards them. So you are not only going to focus at one part of the audience, the way that most of the Indian college teachers do, which is focus on one end and the other end is falling asleep meanwhile. So he's going to sweep all across the crowd. It is different from a spotlight effect because we have an indirect eye contact in lighthouse effect. Indirect means that I'm looking into your eyes, but you are not looking into my eyes. So when I'm looking into audience's eyes, I cannot like pinpoint and look into everyone, right? But they are looking straight at me. So I'm just kind of brushing through. You know what is a strong eye contact, right? You make an eye contact. Right now, I'm making an eye contact with you for the video version, people. I'm looking straight at you. But this is not a direct eye contact. That is an indirect eye contact. I just sweep by, but I did look in your direction as well. And that makes you feel my attention towards you. So you can see that from his head movement. So right now he's looking at his right, okay? See how he moves to the left. He has to. He will. I can bet. Look, he moved, right? Now he's kind of right now looking towards the center, but he will move towards his left as well. I can guarantee that. Unless there's nobody over there, but there is because I just saw him talking to them. Check it out. That's what he did over there. He's paying attention towards everyone, or at least making them feel his attention. Why should I listen to you if you're not talking to me? So to get attention, you have to give attention. And it's a difficult job a speaker has to do, to give attention to all 50 of them or bigger crowds. Like I've talked to once a crowd of 300 people. And you still have to make sure that no corner of that auditorium feels that they are left out. These things are not happening in your head consciously. Like you know why I'm falling asleep. These things are deep in your genetics. You are naturally going to fall asleep if the teacher is not looking at you. If I'm talking continuously like this, how would you feel? Imagine I'm your friend sitting next to you and this is the way I choose to talk to you. How are you going to feel? You are soon going to lose your connection with what I'm saying. I've discussed this in the last podcast as well. A lot of speaking is the eye contact, is the hand gesture, it is the body posture, it is the way that we speak. Very less is what we say or the words that we use. So, if I want your attention, I'm going to give you eye contact. Now, what eye contact does is give the expression in a very silent manner. So that is a huge chunk of information. And that is why a person who is listening to another person who is not having an eye contact finds it extremely difficult to understand what that person was saying, because I'm getting half the information. So what happens when I get half the information? I do not understand half the stuff. And what happens then? I soon cannot relate to you and I'll think about birds outside or something. So I have completely lost what you were saying. 5 minutes down the line, it's even worse that I have no clue now what's going on. And that's how every teacher in colleges lose the attention of their kids, because they make these mistakes in the first 5 minutes of them speaking. And that is why kids sleep in colleges and schools. So a good speaker will never let that happen. A good speaker worships attention and will do anything to grab that. If I see a person yawning, I take it personally. I'm going to make some joke or something that brings the attention of everybody. You should never get angry as a speaker. As a speaker, it is your responsibility to get attention and keep attention. That's your job. That's literally all that you're doing. So you should have firm eye contact with everyone in the audience. Now, firm does not mean direct. Direct meaning I'm looking into your eyes and you are looking into my eyes. I'm going to have an indirect eye contact with me not looking into your eyes, but I'm just brushing through. But you, obviously, since I'm speaking, will be looking exactly at me. So that's an indirect eye contact. And that does enough to make your audience understand that you're paying attention towards them. That's the lighthouse effect. The spotlight effect is you looking into their eyes, they looking into your eyes. And you do not have to worry about the second one because they're already looking into your eyes because you're the speaker. You're in the focus of the attention. So all you have to do is make a strong eye contact. That's it. Now you cannot do it continuously with everyone because you have only two eyes and there are like 500 eyes in the room. So every now and then, uniformly, you pick one, you say a sentence while looking at that person, and then you move forward, then you make a strong eye contact with someone else. Then you move forward, make a strong eye contact with someone else. And like that, if it is uniformly distributed all across the hall, now nobody feels that you're not talking to anybody over here or you're ignoring a particular side. Everybody understands that you cannot make strong eye contact and talk directly to everyone over there. So this subconsciously feeds that you're paying attention towards everyone and everyone gets the information well. So the second one is called a spotlight effect. And it's just like lighthouse moves all around. Obviously, you cannot rotate all around, but around 150 degrees or so is good if it is like a circular gallery. It depends on the class. It's much more detailed than that. There's a whole bunch of lessons on eye contact, especially when the crowd starts to increase or the crowd drops like below 10 or so, how to make proper eye contacts. More is discussed in Art of Speaking course. I'll leave the link down in the description box. But let's see what else we can learn from Dr. Shashi Tharoor over here. See, that's another important one. Number one, he made the audience laugh. Now, that is big. Two things that the audience absolutely love you for are number one, humor, and number two, story. Nobody wants to miss these two. And humor is an important one. If you can make the audience laugh, they love you. They love you. They listen to you. Good. The second important part over here is that when the audience claps, you let them clap. You take your time. You take a sip of water, let them finish, and you get back. You're not in a hurry. You're not uncomfortable. You're feeling the moment. So that's what he did over here. Let them clap. And then he's going to get back. Eva, let's move forward. I do not know what he means over here, but I can understand that he's trying to quote something. Now, this is what you need to understand over here. Quotes are extremely powerful, especially during the start or the end of a speech. Now, one thing that you need to understand about quotes, which is also true for jokes, is that you cannot emphasize it enough. You cannot stutter at all. If you do that, you kill the joke, you kill the quote. So if you're going to quote something, you better breathe in, think about it properly, remind yourself the sentence one by one, exactly what you're going to say, and then drop the quote. If you go to my TEDx talk, my talk ends with a quote.
A man who did not get to live till 90, but yet lives forever, he once said, "Whatever you do in life will be insignificant, but it is very important that you do it." That's my time, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. I hope you do not regret listening to me talk. Thank you.
And imagine if I stuttered in that quote. Imagine I do that at the end of my speech. That is going to throw the audience off, make me sound over there less professional than I am over here. And as a speaker, that's my nightmare. So Remember this, quotes are important, quotes are powerful for multiple reasons that I'm not prepared to discuss right now. It's going to take a long time, but quotes are important. I think that you know at least that much, that quotes are very powerful. But more importantly, as a speaker, if you're going to bring down a quote, you better be bulletproof with that. If you drop it, no stutter. If you drop it, no hesitation. It goes dot, 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 word by word and line by line until there's a full stop. Okay, there's a question for him. Let us see how you can deal with the Q&A round. Oh, that's not a question at all. Okay, I remember this speech. Let's see if someone really has a question. I guess there are no questions over here, so we're just going to skip it. Well, those are just very small fraction of what we can learn from Dr. Shashi Tharoor. Like I've said, he's one of the best speakers of this world. And we are maybe in future going to get into one of the debates that he was in. Definitely a lot to be learned from. He's just as good, if not better, than Jordan Peterson. And we are definitely going to spend some more time in the future learning more from this gentleman. Now, as I said, that I wanted to discuss David Goggins' Never Finished book review. I will discuss it in the next podcast. I do not want to stretch it too much. Like I said, discussing Shashi Tharoor would take some time, and it did, and for good reasons. And we are going to discuss more important speakers in the upcoming podcast. Put it down in the comment section who you want to be broken down, like in the way that they speak, and you will get full justice to that. That's about it, guys. If you need more stuff, go to ashishtalk.com. I'll leave the link down in the description box. Telephonic consultancy, online courses. Check it out. There's a lot that you can get, especially art of speaking. If you were impressed by the breakdown of Dr. Shashi Tharoor, or you learned a lot out of it, you can't even imagine what art of speaking is packed with. 100 times more information, which has been tested on hundreds and hundreds of students and has proven to be working every time with the method that it provides and the resources that it provides. Not going to say much, just going to leave the link down in the description box. Also a discount code, especially because you reached the end. Ashish Rendon Talk Podcast is available on all the audio platforms, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, or what was that, Prime Music. Check it out. The secondary YouTube channel, Ashish Rendon Talks, is on Clips. So if you want to stay up to date with that, subscribe to that channel as well. And now there's our Instagram page called Ashish Rendon Talks, where you are going to get a regular dose of motivation, direction, and guidance. More topics of discussion and suggestions, comment section. See you guys next time. Till then, bye.